You're listening to the world famous Chick Whisperer podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
How is it going, gentlemen? This is Scott McKay from XY Communications. You are tuned in to the big old Chick Whisper podcast. Today, I'm really pleased to have a special co-host guest with you today. His name is Justice Donnelly. And Justice, you and I have known each other for 8 years now, haven't we?
Yeah, a good while now.
You have actually been a part of my 10 Plus Live program many, many moons ago. And it's just been a thrill to see you get so much better with women over the years to the point where you're just a genius and, frankly, a guru nowadays. And you have just come out with a brand new program that we're going to talk about today. And, well, first of all, welcome to the program. And I think it's going to be exciting to talk today.
Yeah. No, thank you so much for having me here, Scott. It's an absolute honor from when I went to your 10 Plus program to now be here. I'm absolutely thrilled to be here. I'm thrilled to share what I have to share and what I've learned, and I'm excited.
Now, your new program has been seen everywhere the past couple weeks as of the time we're recording this. It's literally sweeping the world. Everybody is telling their newsletter readers about it. Every time I click a link, it's coming up to be the Justice Donnelly program, and it is tremendously powerful. It's something different, and what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about a topic that you came up with that I am absolutely in love with, and this is called Your Five Heroes. And I don't think we talk about on this show nearly enough the whole idea of what a real man looks like and who the real men are in today's world and even in worlds past, right? You know, I once had MTV Networks throw a study on my desk. In it was one startling fact, and it was almost all, I mean, it was like 85, 90% of American kids under age 25. Okay, I'm going to call them kids because, you know, that includes everybody younger than 25. Can't name a single male role model.
Wow.
And the people who do are naming people who've been in jail, people who have been known drug dealers, people who have had gun felonies, you know, people who really aren't what we would think of as a role model, but those are the people that certain young men are wanting to be like. So we're going to provide a pretty valuable service today on this show, Mr. Justice Donnelly. We're going to talk about the kind of man who really reflects what I call the big four, which of course are confidence, the ability to make women feel safe and comfortable in your presence, masculinity as women define it, and long-term character. And I'm anxious to hear what you will add to the mix in terms of defining a real man. Maybe that's a place we should start. What do you think?
Absolutely. We can start right there. If you want, I can go ahead and describe a little bit what the five heroes is, and then, you know, give an example and of how to find that positive role model that's going to make a massive difference personally and especially in your dating life.
Let's do it.
All right. Great. Well, Scott, the five heroes is an exercise, and actually it's been proven in a lot of, you know, psychological studies that basically who you're five heroes are, fictional or non-fictional, consciously and subconsciously, you have inner traits that relate to these heroes. So for example, if your hero is, say, Wolverine, you have particular traits that you're kind of mirroring subconsciously or consciously. You see something you like about them, it's because you recognize it in yourself. That's the very powerful thing about heroes. It's why Spider-Man is a very common hero for many people, because he has teen angst and he kind of grows and he's an outcast, but then he becomes into something. And what I discovered is, and what the, you know, psychologists discovered, if you work on the traits that your hero has, and you can go in very deep into that, and we'll cover a little bit of that, basically you can really develop very powerful masculinity, and you can develop great social skills to a very strong, positive mindset.
It's interesting to hear you talk about it in terms of fictional characters, because I don't think people even consider that. Because after all, someone who is fictional isn't real. It may be too much to try to attain what that person is, especially if we're talking about a superhero there. But here's one thing I kind of want to add to that thought. Even if you pick someone who is historical or someone who is real to you, someone even who is there, present in your life, that person's never going to be perfect. That person's going to have flaws. So if you say, well, you know, this particular historical figure is one of my heroes, someone I would want to emulate. Then you start digging deep into their history and you realize, man, this person did some not so nice things here and there. How do you think that affects everything? Does that disqualify someone, or do you simply have that ability to pick and choose what you like or don't like and then follow or emulate those aspects of their heroics, if you will?
I totally understand what you're saying. And that's why the nice thing with the five heroes is it can change, because you may realize like, okay, I've grown past this person and they revolve in and out. Like an example, a current hero I could say is mine is a guy named or played by James Spader on a TV show called Red Reddington. And I wouldn't necessarily want to emulate Red Reddington because you don't know if he's good or bad yet, but he seems to be good. Though the thing that I like about him, the trait that I like, is how he has this very meta view of his emotional frame. So he doesn't get rattled very easily. He's very observant. And then those are the things that I take, like, these are the things I want to work on. And, you know, maybe I can pick up a body language book, or maybe I can not get as rattled in these particular situations, because he views the world as kind of his world. And he's not being so reactive to everything. So those are sorts of more of the traits you want to be looking for or working on. You know, like Winston Churchill, with my, some of my clients, that seems to be a popular hero with some guys, which is great because he's pretty ill. But I don't know if you necessarily want to be, you know, smoking and drinking as much as Winston Churchill. But the particular things on courage, you know, his decisiveness, those are great traits to emulate and to work on and to dig deeper on.
Yeah, well, Winston Churchill in particular is a fascinating example, because I don't know if it was the lack of political correctness or whatever back in the day, but he was once quoted as saying that Iraq needed a dose of lively terror to bring them back in line. And he was talking about possibly using biological weapons or gas against them. So, I mean, you know, someone may find that out about Winston Churchill and go, you know, oh my God, there's no way I could possibly ever want to emulate anything about that guy. But he was very quick-witted, very decisive, a man of great personal power, and a man who, of course, was not a quitter, famously, you know, never, ever, 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 ever give up, you know, never give in. And I'm not sure if that was perseverance or stubbornness, but history has been kind to him in that regard. And of course, the Nazis were defeated largely because of the resolve he gave the British people, along with the rest of the Allies. You mentioned Raymond Reddington, which I think is another fascinating example. And I watched that show, The Blacklist, with Emily. Emily adores that show. I think the blonde-haired guy who's the FBI agent should be nominated for the worst actor of all time.
I will agree with you there.
My gosh, he's got to be somebody's nephew or something to get that part, because he's always like, you know, he's just like the worst actor ever. If you've ever watched The Blacklist and not noticed, his name is Diego something. I can't even remember the guy's name. But the whole show, basically, the reason to watch that show, there's one redeeming reason, and it is James Spader. Because James Spader is brilliant, and the character Raymond Reddington is terrific. You were talking about superheroes. That whole show plays like a comic book. All the bad guys are like, you know, Two-Face or some guy who's got like this really strange, almost supernatural weirdness about him that makes him like this super villain. And Raymond Reddington, of course, is a bad guy. I mean, he's top 10 FBI most wanted list. And yet he has so much personal power. He carries himself with such dignity. I love how he weaves innocuous stories into the most tense situations, and they always have something to do with resolving it, which is so funny to me.
That is great. And how he takes it. You know, someone will ask him a question, then he'll plug in that story while it totally relates to the question, but he takes it to a very higher level. And I actually used that on a date the other night.
I'm sure you did.
But it is fascinating how he does that.
Yeah. And of course, keeping his cool and being hyper intelligent, yet still plugged in socially, and being somewhat unfazed by his enemies, by his friendships. He talks how he has nobody on his side. He has no friends. he just does what he does and feels like that he's comfortable with his own decisions. He's comfortable with the path he's chosen. And, you know, that kind of makes him a very cool anti-hero. And see, when we watch TV nowadays, when we watch movies, you know, along the lines of these fictional characters possibly having hero traits for us, it seems like the anti-hero is so prevalent, like a guy who is really a bad guy, but we end up rooting for him. I mean, Quentin Tarantino loves this, right? Samuel L. Jackson and John Travolta in Pulp Fiction, you know, they were horrible guys, but you somehow wanted them to win. You know, when you've seen Breaking Bad, of course, Walter White may be the ultimate anti-hero of the last 10 years. I mean, how could we possibly be pulling for that guy all through that series? It almost messes with your head. And of course, the examples go on. One example I like to talk to guys I coach about is Hank Moody from the TV show Californication, who was a womanizer, couldn't figure out what to do with his life. Again, another guy who drinks and smokes too much. But man, that show lives and breathes because of David Duchovny's dialogue with women. The guy is just so quick on his feet talking to women and so good with women and so attractive to women, all because of how he carries himself and his natural masculinity and that devil may care attitude. Same with maybe Don Draper from Mad Men, a guy who's quite literally not even being himself, which of course is the cardinal sin, right?
Yeah.
But calm, cool, collected. When he loses his cool, it's a major losing his cool, but usually he's known for being that guy who is kind of the David D'Angelo avatar of furrowing his eyebrows and blinking slowly and slowing down and deepening his voice. You know, that's the whole Don Draper persona. And yet there's so many things there that you wouldn't want to emulate either. So it feels weird to say, man, I'd love to be just like David Duchovny's character, Hank Moody, because I wouldn't like to be exactly like that guy. But I have absolutely been influenced in my interactions with women by watching too many episodes of that show. And it has paid off.
No, and that's a good thing, because I was just wanted to make the point that the great thing about having these heroes is, you know, obviously, you know, mirror neurons. We learn a lot by watching others that we like. And that's the other thing with this, you know, the psychological traits. So we can pick up these traits. And the other thing that kind of takes this working onto masculinity. So if you like David Duchovny or Red Reddington, how they think on their feet, it's then you kind of think, what would they do? Like my two big heroes are my dad and Jack Reacher from the book. So oftentimes I find myself, what would Jack Reacher do? And it's not necessarily just in conversation. So for example, like Jack Reacher is very self-aware. So I'm like, okay, he's self-aware. He's observant. So I picked up a book on body language. You know, I watched some videos on body language to get better at body language. And then on the basic thing of self-aware, it's like, well, he's strong, he's self-aware. So, and there's cute girls in yoga. Maybe I should go take a yoga class and get in tune with my breathing. And automatically, so there, it's kind of twofold. I'm working on being more self-aware by going to a yoga class. And the other thing is I'm putting myself in front of women while working on this trait. And it's kind of funny how it starts when you, you know, dig a little bit deeper of how to develop these traits. And it happens really fast. That's kind of the amazing thing. You just go to a yoga class, you're working on being self-aware, and all of a sudden you're just kind of in the middle of things like, okay, now I'm talking to this woman, now I'm talking to that woman, I'm working on this. It really starts developing really quickly, which is the fascinating aspect of it.
Now, talking about Jack Reacher, for people who didn't see the movie, that's a film where Tom Cruise plays the main character.
Yes. I prefer the book character. Although Tom Cruise did a good job of getting the character trait. So if anyone wants to look at an example, he did do a good job of getting the character traits down. But in the book, Jack Reacher is 6'5", 250. So it's hard to picture Tom Cruise as Jack Reacher a little bit. But
now, Justice, moving on from fictional characters, let's talk about some people who are real live and in the flesh. I think all of us have seen guys and gone, man, you know, this guy isn't fictional. This guy isn't a superhero, but man, I just like his style. I just think he does amazing things. I would like to be able to do some of what that guy does. Again, maybe not everything. For example, one of the guys I've always admired is Steve McQueen, you know, the King of Cool. Not only was the guy calm, cool, and collected and just had this cool aura about him, long before a lot of people did. And I think it's sort of like how people look back on Jimi Hendrix and people go, oh, he was the greatest guitar player ever. And then he goes, well, no, man, so-and-so and so-and-so from the 90s and from the 2000s are better than he is. Well, dude, that guy was around in 1967 doing that before anybody else was doing it. So you have to take that into consideration. You know, in that respect, maybe Jimi Hendrix would be a nice one of the five heroes for a lot of guys, especially you axe wielders out there. But Steve McQueen was not only cool before his time, frankly. I mean, if you look 10 years prior to that and see how the coolest guy of that era was James Dean, and you watch his movies and you realize he really wasn't all that cool, you know, it starts coming into focus for you. But what I loved about Steve McQueen and also Paul Newman, of course, same thing, is not only were those guys cool badasses in their movies as actors, but they were kind of in real life also. Both of them raced cars. Steve McQueen was a motorcycle guy. You know, he did his own motorcycle stunts in The Great Escape, which, you know, weren't Evel Knievel-esque, but it's still cool that he went and rode his own motorcycle in The Great Escape and drove his own Mustang in that epic car chase in the movie Bullet. And it just made me like the guy. Then I see the movie The Getaway, where he's playing alongside his actual real-life wife, who was Ollie McGraw at the time. And he starts slapping her up and beating her up in the movie. And I'm like, oh, hell, man, why did he have to go and ruin his image with me like that? But, you know, you have to kind of block that out and, you know, take the good with the bad and realize this was a 1970s movie script. And, you know, he was sort of an anti-hero in that movie anyway. But lots of examples out there like that, right?
Oh, yeah, tons. I mean, just from what the example you gave, what Steve McQueen did, there's plenty of things. You can go to a racing track maybe one day and get a driving lesson. I mean, these are the sorts of things that kind of you can do. Like, all right, you know, he used to do his own stunts. Maybe I'll take a motorcycle riding lesson just to kind of get you out and working on these things. You may not necessarily want to become a race car driver, but these little things you can look into. I mean, I know my real life hero would definitely, although he passed on, was my dad. He was just an absolute, socially, the guy was just incredible. And really, he had this marvelous warmth about him that really did a lot of, you know, it drew a lot of people in, and he lived this great life. I mean, he, you know, he loved boats, and he was actually had a captain's license, and he had a pilot's license, which, you know, I don't think he just liked to fly and took the school and did a pilot's license. He did all these very unique things and just really had this really embraced life. And that was the huge trait. It's like, well, he just really likes to, you know, get out of the house. And for an introvert like me, it's like, this is a great lesson of, you know, instead of wondering about it, maybe I'll give it a shot and try it out and see if I like it or not. And it just kind of expands upon that. It was really cool how he used to do that.
You know, to anybody who's seen your website for your new program, obviously your dad was a very central figure in your life. And I know that from when you and I were working together. Talk about some of the ways your dad influenced you to be better with women.
Well, there's a lot. So
there's a lot of them. It's a loaded question.
Yeah, no, it's a good question though. So the biggest thing was socially, you know, I'll start where he was socially. He was pretty incredible. So my dad was not exactly, you know, he's about 5'9" and, you know, he was pretty overweight, but women were just so drawn to him. And a lot of it had to do with this presence, and that he was incredibly observational of people. So he could, you know, when talking to someone, it just made you immediately feel like you were just in a bubble with him, and he could just relate and listen and just always had the right thing to say. And I think, you know, the really great thing about it was he wasn't in his head. I think a lot of guys tend to get so far in their head, especially when coming to women or coming around women, you know, talking to women, they get so in their heads of, oh my God, am I saying the right thing? I think he understood that, you know, these people are in their heads and I'm talking to them. So he just had this great relaxing presence and asking really good questions. He wouldn't just go topical sorts of questions. He would really get after, you know, what the person was up to that day, what their likes and dislikes were, what their passions were. He had a great conversational knack about him. That was one huge quality socially that he had. And I guess more personally, he was an extremely curious person. And I think that's a very important quality for people to have. He was very curious about things. He would, you know, like I mentioned earlier, he would see something and, you know, maybe in one of his favorite shows, and he said, yeah, maybe I'll take a driving lesson and just and see how it goes. You know, she would do little things like that, would kind of get him very curious and talking with different sorts of people. And it really expanded his social network. And he was just very, he really saw that life had a lot to offer. And he was just, it was always kind of in front of you. And he would be curious. Now that doesn't mean you have to go out and do everything every single day, but you know, he would develop an interest in something. And when he got that little interest, he would go check it out to see if he liked it. And it kind of would build upon that, that curiosity of not letting it just die out and think, oh, that's cool, and then forgetting about it. He would actually engage in it, which is a great quality to have, I think.
Curiosity is an admirable trait, and all too few people have it. I know I'm personally the kind of guy who, when a plane flies overhead, I want to see what kind of plane it is and what airline it is, and nobody else ever looks. People will rush home to get their supper without even looking at a beautiful sunset. I've known people to go to beautiful, wonderful places on business and not even notice the culture or the food or anything. I know a guy who went to India on IT business for a week, and he stayed in the hotel and ordered pizza all week. I don't know how you do that in this life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, he just hid in a cave. And I mean, more people are like that than not. So I love hearing that about your dad. And one thing I want to make sure everybody knows in this audience is that you're every bit as good with women nowadays as your father was, I'm sure. You have had beautiful girlfriends who you've introduced me to, who treat you right and are wonderful too. You're the real deal. Hell, my 3-year-old daughter even adores you, which is a little scary, frankly, especially to her mom. But we all went to a Colorado Rockies baseball game this summer when we visited you out in Colorado where you're living. And my daughter was sitting in your lap the whole game talking to you and trying to talk to you about lemonade. And she just was so cute sitting there with you. Like, she was so comfortable with you, you know. And I'll tell you something, Justice. If you can make a 3-year-old little girl feel comfortable enough to sit in your lap, you can make a 33-year-old girl comfortable enough to sit in your lap. I think that's a truth. And I think people need to know that. Little kids just get it. They know. And little girls, even little tiny girls like my daughter, understand what masculinity is. They understand what safety is. And obviously, you meant her no harm. You're not, you know, you're a great guy. And she just liked you. She just thought you were cool. And that was fun to see. And of course, when you were here, way back in the Stone Age, of course, which I guess is what, 2008? Yeah. And by the time you were done with that 10-plus live weekend here in San Antonio, that last night, you remember what happened? We went to that place. It was kind of like a cowboy.
Oh, yes, I do remember.
And those two women threw themselves at you wanting a threesome. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't believe it. Emily and I were looking at each other like, okay, all right. You know, and you were out of your shell. You were being the man you were meant to be. That was a moment that really, in my mind, cemented that, oh man, now this guy finally understands how he can be a big four man, be really attractive. And I'm sure that just like you told me, you went off and it was lights out from there. I mean that in a way that you went home back to your hometown and it was lights out with women from there. Unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you looked at it, being that it was 2 o'clock in the morning and you were hanging out with Emily and I, and you had to catch a plane at 6, that threesome actually didn't happen. Some guys may be throwing tomatoes at my screen. I mean, if you would have wanted it really badly, maybe. Yeah. But it was amazing just to watch women really respond that powerfully to you. Because I think some guys can go their entire life without any woman ever showing any attention towards them, let alone two, you know, legitimately attractive women, by the way. I mean, even Emily had to shout. Two legitimately attractive women throwing themselves at you like that as a culmination of a 10-plus live weekend where we were meeting women in field and stuff like that. It was just beautiful to watch. And I know since then, man, you know, it's been 7 years. You know, when I first started being a dating coach, I hadn't been good with women for 7 years. So you've come a long way since then. And it's just really, really amazing to watch. And it's great to hear you talk about your dad. I know my dad is a wonderful guy, too. I'm going to throw that in here, too. My dad is a man of character who has been such an incredible example in loving my mom and having my mom love him back. My mom adores my dad. My mom will follow my dad anywhere, and my dad will not ever compromise her safety or security. And, you know, if all of that sounds familiar in terms of what I teach, well, there you go. Now you know where I found it. My dad has always been a man of integrity, My dad's not perfect like your dad or like anybody else, but he always, you know, was all about supporting and protecting the family. He was always about doing the right thing. He raised all of us, my brother, my sister, and I, to be good people, and he still is a good person today. My dad actually in his retirement is writing children's stories and children's poems, and he's a total goofball. And I love that about him too. And for what it's worth, he was as smooth and cool and witty as Hank Moody before there was ever a Hank Moody. And I've always looked up to my dad about that. And I worked on it and I worked on it. And finally, I'm just as quick as my dad is. And it's a source of great pride for me. So yeah, man, here's to our dads. Having a good dad is so important, gentlemen. And for those of you guys who haven't, I know that it's a bummer, but it's also not the end of the world. There are other people out there who you can look up to. You just have to choose wisely.
Yep,
exactly. I'd like, before we close, just to throw out a few more names of guys who are badasses who we like and see some good things in. One of them for me was Steve Irwin. I'm still in mourning over that.
Yeah, he was great.
All the adventure travel that Emily and I do and some of the trips we go on and indeed taking our children with us all comes from Steve Irwin in his safari gear with his baby son under his arm hanging out the side of a DC-3 talking about how gorgeous and beautiful it is below. I'm like, you know, that's awesome. And we've taken our kids all over the world. I know you're a traveler too, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And Steve Irwin has really influenced me there. So, I mean, you know, that's a great example. Any others you have?
Let's see. Two pop my mind right away. I really love, although it's probably not a great example because he did have a discretion with his wife, but Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I've met him, fortunately enough, in person. And he is just such a gregarious guy. He's in his drive and discipline to, you know, kind of just go from bodybuilder to the governator to, and just, if you're meeting him in person, he's just such a kind guy. He's so masculine. He's so, he gives so much value. Wouldn't he expect it? And he's great with names. I think that's really cool. And just what I got from him was just that drive and that discipline, or really that self-belief that, you know, I can do this. I can overcome my, you know, ugly Austrian accent and be a movie star, which I'm sure everyone told him there's no way, Jose. It's not happening.
I don't think his accent's ugly. I think his accent's
Came, you know, if you see his first couple ever movies before he, I think the Terminator, he could barely speak. And then I really love Clint Eastwood. You know, I think I relate to him because I get a feeling he's introvert, and I really just like how he's a very, you know, well thought man. He kind of always embraces masculinity. I think he's a great example for body language, but he always just seems to be very, you know, well thought, caring. He carries himself with a lot of confidence and self belief, and I just really appreciate that. And he has great passions. He has a passion for jazz music, I understand. He loves golf. I think he's just really enjoys being Clint, as you can say.
But again, another guy who you would not want to emulate when it comes to relationships with women.
No, that's maybe two bad examples. Yeah,
that guy's really messed those up over the years. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was actually going to say, although he's kind of a jerk on Shark Tank, but Kevin O'Leary, but from what I hear and I've read his book, he really, his wife just really adores him. I guess they have a fantastic relationship between the two of them. right. I know he's a bit cold, but I guess he's a very excellent family man. And yeah, his wife says, from what I hear, they have a great relationship with each other. And, you know, I hear he always wants to do the right thing by his family and by his wife. So, so even cold calculating guys like that can have, you know, a fantastic relationship. And I know he has a very high self standard to not, you know, he looks down upon cheating, which I actually really like. And he mentions that in the book. He says, don't get married to someone you're going to cheat on or, you know, work on it. It's just a self-discipline thing, which I did not expect to find that in his book.
Yeah. You know, you have to be real careful with people who are film actors and TV actors.
Oh yeah.
Because if they're really good at playing a bad guy, it doesn't necessarily mean they're a bad guy in real life. I mean, you know, there's some who kind of fit that persona off camera, but plenty who play bad guys on screen who are actually really great guys off screen. So it's more the character you're either emulating or not than the real person sometimes. Another thing you mentioned there that I thought was brilliant was how Arnold Schwarzenegger was this down-to-earth guy who didn't seem like he was trying to impress you. And one thing I've noticed is guys who really are uber successful, guys who are the multi-hundred millionaires of the world, people who are world famous, A-listers, oftentimes, if the pendulum doesn't swing towards total douchebaggery, like say a Barry Bonds, they're usually the most down-to-earth, sweetest, nicest people because they don't have anything to prove. There's nothing left to prove. Everybody gives them all the attention and all the accolades they deserve, and they really don't have to go pushing it anymore. They know that they've arrived, and then they're just really very gracious to people. Manu Ginobili of the San Antonio Spurs is famously all about people and really just cool to people everywhere he goes. And I love that. He's another guy I really like. I've always liked Manu Ginobili, not only just because I'm a San Antonio Spurs fan, but also because he's Argentinian and he's, you know, a worldly guy and he played in Europe and he won the gold medal for Argentina and played in the NBA. But he just does such badass things like swoop a bat out of the sky in the middle of a game, you know, and take the bat away and he has to get a bunch of rabies shots. Yeah, well, it was worth getting the bat out and so we could play. You know? I just love that about that guy. You know, great example there. And of course, one of the other things we were talking about there is, you know, you mentioned someone who in many ways just isn't a very nice guy, but there's one or two things there that you want to emulate. And it just harkens back to that whole idea from the beginning of picking and choosing.
Yes, 100%. And I was with a very successful person last weekend in Las Vegas, and I kind of just hung around with him to get some lessons from him. And it was amazing how, you know, he said the kind of woman that you pick is a deeper vision of yourself. And he just told me that when we were walking through a casino, because he was pointing out how certain things that can be a bit of a downfall if you're just trying to pick on beauty, if you're just trying to pick on this, if you're just trying to pick on that. And he just said this very powerful statement. I was like, wow, that's a really good statement, because he's a very self-assured person. He's very positive mindset. And he believes in that he's going to come in from a position of choosing. And he really is one of these guys who has really nothing to prove. He dresses great. He looks great. But he's not trying to show it off. It just is. You know, I think that's a great thing, you know, to really consider, you know, just having those sets of standards and that moral code or moral compass, maybe you want to call it.
You know, it's kind of a chicken or the egg argument, but isn't it interesting how confidence and wisdom play off each other?
Oh, big time. Big time.
Yeah. It's like where one goes, the other follows. And again, I'm not sure which is the chicken and which is the egg, but confident people tend to be wise and wise people tend to be confident. How about the whole idea of a normal, everyday person you've ever met that sort of stuck out in your mind as someone who really is a badass and you have plenty to learn from? Someone who comes to mind immediately for me is the guy who was our driver and our tour guide when we did a safari in East Africa about a year ago. I had no idea what to expect. I didn't know who was going to be in the car with us. Total strangers in the car with us for a week, Emily and I. This guy turned out to be one of my favorite people of all time. He had gotten the job driving the Land Rover on this safari after he had left the job with the UN, where he was driving back and forth from Kenya to South Sudan with supplies. He had been shot at. He had been in the middle of a bar brawl where the bullets were streaming everywhere all over the bar and people got killed and it was on the news. And there had been 21 people hired for 14 jobs. And the reason why they needed 21 people for 14 jobs is because 7 of them got killed in the line of duty. So after a little bit too much of a vida loca, he became a safari operator. This guy was one of those African men who is just calm, cool, and collected and considers everything that's on the plate before he says something. And whenever he says something, it's almost like this James Earl Jonesian, deep-voiced, wise thing that comes out of his mouth. I've noticed that about high-end big four African guys is they don't say anything until they're ready to say it. And I love that about them. This guy had the entire map of East Africa in his head. He wasn't fazed by wildlife. He wasn't fazed by losing the transmission of the Land Rover and being stranded by the side of the road with the Maasai folks for 8 hours. And he knew 11 languages. He could pull over anywhere we went, from Kenya all the way into Uganda and driving all the way back to the Maasai Mara. He could pull over and he would say, you know, in a couple of different languages, you know, what language you speak. And then he would converse with that person brilliantly. And I was just so in awe of him. I just thought he was the coolest guy. He knew so much about animals. He spotted a leopard where Emily and I would have completely missed it. You know, the one leopard we saw on the whole trip. We would have missed it. And he was so cool and so nice and so humble and so helpful on top of that. And most people in certainly our country here in North America would crawl up in a fetal position at the end of their bed and suck their thumb the first time a bullet got fired in South Sudan. They'd even be like, hell no, I'm not going to South Sudan in a UN truck. Forget it. And the guy's making like $12 an hour. I mean, I wanted to like put him on a plane with me and hire him and have him be, you know, my right-hand guy here in the United States and pay him like $100,000 a year or something if I could. I want to hang out with the guy and drink beer with the guy all the time. And he just was one of my favorite people. And I think it's neat how it doesn't have to be someone famous or someone you're related to, like a father or someone like that. It can be someone you happen across in your daily life who's just a normal guy like you.
Oh, big time. I know one of my – he's a friend of mine. He's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu instructor, and he's a black belt. But the amazing thing about him is unfortunately, his sister was in a tragedy. His sister and husband were actually killed, unfortunately. So a couple of years ago, he just – all of a sudden, two kids fell into his lap, and this was right around he was – dating a younger girl. So everything looked bad, but man, it was this huge tragedy. It was a mess up in Boulder, Colorado, and he just handled it with such poise. And these, you know, two there, I think at the time were 5 and 3. In reality, probably couldn't have had a better, I don't know how to even put it, you know, couldn't have happened to a better, you know, person, or, you know, they fell into a new dad, I guess you could say. And he has just been absolutely amazing with these kids. And he has this presence about him, this big presence of how he's just going to have things handled. Like when shit really hits the fan with him, you know, he just has it handled. And this was a huge event. And his wife's this fantastic woman. She looks like a Barbie doll, but actually she's a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. But, you know, he chose wisely, and, you know, granted the tragedy, she handled these two kids like an absolute pro, you know, and these kids are doing great. They're doing awesome. And he just has things handled. Like, I know it was crazy. Last summer I had a flat tire, and then my spare went flat like 3 days later. So I didn't have a tire, and he was the first person I called, and because I knew he was just going to have things handled. And he's just that sort of presence of how cool, calm, and collected he is. You know, he's not dramatically freaking out. He's just like, okay, what can I do next? You know, he tries to always maximize the positive in every negative situation. It's just this really, you know, powerful thing. And he's just a Brazilian jiu-jitsu instructor, which is a total badass thing, but, you know, that's his gig. But man, he just really has this really grace and presence about him.
Just when you think the world's gone to hell in a handbasket, you start thinking about this and realize how many just super good people there are out there, men and women, really. But in terms of being a role model, in terms of the heroics, in terms of what we look up to and what to emulate, you know, the list goes on and on. And I think probably the best takeaway from this whole show today, you know, Justice, is that whole idea of whoever you look to is never going to be perfect. So you can pick and choose and emulate. And at the end of the day, you become this amazing composite of who you really are, who you really resonate with. And, you know, you add your own special uniqueness to it, and you become a Big Four guy. It's pretty cool.
Exactly.
I want to tell these guys about your program, and I'm going to give you a fair warning, first of all, guys, that this is an edgy website. The way he talks about his dad, the way he talks about what he calls the searchlight is amazing. But Justice is his own dog, and this is his own website, so you're going to have to look at it, make your own decision. But if you want to take a look at his amazing program, and I can assure you it's founded on good Big Four principles and it works, you're going to love it. Go to www.thechickwhisperer.com/searchlight. Let's go ahead and make it searchlight. www.thechickwhisperer.com/searchlight. All you have to do is remember searchlight and take a look at it. And Justice, man, my good friend, thank you so much for being on the show today. This has been a very, very good episode. Great, great content. Thanks.
Oh, thanks. It's been an absolute pleasure and an honor to be here, Scott.
And guess what, guys? If you haven't been to the brand new show notes page for The Chick Whisperer, you're missing out. You'll get pictures. You'll get more information on all of our guests and notes about the show. You can go there at www.thechickwhisperer.com. When you get there, click on my cute little Vargas girl, and you will get a free report on how to get the first date, ace it, and get the second date, and you don't want to miss out on that. Until I talk to you again on the next episode of the Chick Whisperer podcast, this is Scott McKay in San Antonio, Texas. Be good out there.
The Chick Whisperer podcast is copyright 2009 by X and Y Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to sign up for the X and Y Communications newsletter at www.thechickwhisperer.com. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Chick Whisperer podcast.